Hi, everybody. I'm Hal Eisner, and this is What the Hal. Now, Hal isn't the only word that starts with an H. Hip does, hop does, hip, hop, a hippie to the hip, hop. Okay, I won't do that. But what I will tell you is that the group you're about to hear in this podcast, they're incredible. They're high school kids in competition to be the best in the land. Let's listen. So the champions of the world aren't always in baseball or football or basketball. In fact, I'm in a room full of people right now that are world champions, and they're dancers. And I want each one of you to introduce yourself. We're talking about people who are members of a dance crew called the Lab times West Covina. In other words, the initials are TL times or XWC. And they're the world champs in the hip-hop competition, the global competition, and they are going to be going back for the effort to defend their trophy. So let's go around the room here and have everybody introduce themselves, say your name, tell us what you do. Here we go.
My name is Valerie Ramirez, and I'm the director of The Lab and TL times WC and also West Covina Hip Hop.
And of course, The Lab is a space, a creative space, where people come to work out their dance and their routines and things like that. You are?
Brittany Robles, one of the directors of West Covina Hip Hop.
Okay, great. Kids, tell me your age, too.
My name is Trey DiRego. I'm 15 years old, and I'm a part of TL times WC.
You're a dancer.
I am a dancer,
You
yes.
love that.
I love dancing.
I mean, there's just nothing better.
Nothing better than that.
Like, you know, in the shower, I sing, do you dance?
I always dance in the shower.
Do you?
Yeah, always.
Right. What the hell?
What the hell?
Your name is what?
My name is Jaime Mora. I'm also part of TLXWC, and I am 15 years old.
And he has a very cool bun on his head.
Oh, yeah.
Most of these dancers have kind of that blonde kind of streaking, but he's got a man bun, and his dark hair, and it looks great.
Thank you.
Go home and do that myself if I don't have enough hair.
Oh.
Your name?
Extension.
I'm Carrie Calkins. I'm a director of operations and talent management at The Lab and one of the directors of West Coast Hip Hop as well.
All right, guys. Ages?
My name is Andrew Venegas. I am 18 years old. I am currently a senior, and I am a part of West Coast Hip Hop and TL times WC.
And?
I'm Jonathan Gonzalez. I am 16 years old, and I am also a member of TL times WC.
This is quite a thing for you guys. Yeah. I mean, tell me, first of all, and let's hear from the kids. I say kids because anything under 90 is a kid to me, I think. tell me about you. Let's start with Trey. Tell me about you and why dance is so important in your life.
Dance for me is super important in my life because it was there for me when not a lot of people were there for me, and it was kind of my outlet to kind of release all the problems I had in my life, and it was really a comfort zone. And after realizing how happy it made me, it started to become a passion. So it wasn't just an outlet to express my emotions. It started to become like an actual passion, something I love doing.
All right, let's go a little deeper here. Tell me what you were feeling when you resorted to dance.
So I come from a split home, so my mom and dad are not together. So when I was little, it was really tough for me to kind of deal with the whole situation, and I was able to release all those emotions and all that kind of stress I built up through dance and just really let go.
It doesn't get rid of the feelings of a split home, does it?
Definitely. It doesn't get rid of the feelings, but it helps you cope with it and helps you kind of understand it and really just, kind of accept what you're given.
And it makes a big difference.
It does. Having an outlet to kind of release your emotions is a big part of being able to live a happy life.
Let me ask you, your name again is?
My name is Jaime Mora.
The man bun.
Man bun, yes.
Got it. Why'd you get into this?
This is going on to my second year of dancing, so I'm quite new to this. And I started this because on the same page as Trey, I come from a split home, but I just found like the need of like when I started like to like, you know, groove or like just dance, and I felt like it really didn't matter like where you came from or like who you are. I just felt like for me, like when I started dancing like 2 years ago, just
it's a lot of acceptance.
Yeah, it's a very like it's a lot of acceptance for me, and it made me who I am right
what
now.
Was it in you already? I mean, is this rhythm, this ability to dance? Did you have to go learn how to do that? I mean, sometimes I think I have two left feet.
I think it was in me. My director is they tell me all the time that I'm natural and that I'm very gifted. So, but I don't take that like for granted, but I still like work really, really hard and train because I know that you shouldn't get comfortable and yeah.
I know all four of you are very gifted because I've watched you dance, and I think you're terrific. And let me ask you, and then we'll ask you what your feelings are. And give me your name again.
My name is Jonathan Gonzalez.
Okay, John.
Just kind of my background. I'm actually probably not the oldest member, but I've probably been with the lab the longest.
Well, you're 17.
16.
16, and you're 8. Right, okay. You've been with the lab the longest?
Yeah, I've been with the lab since I was 2 years old.
Basically, 2 years old?
Yeah, they've basically like grown me up. I would say the lab is literally the reason, like, they've made me the person I am today.
Could you do hip-hop at two?
We started off doing a lot of other different styles. So I actually started off doing, like, clogging, which is, like, different from tap. But as we started to grow, I felt like it really changed me because I wasn't, like, a very confident person. I'm always kind of, like, shy and kind of, like, in the corner. But kind of, like, having the family that we've, like, grown to today, it, like, helped me a lot as like a person.
I got to tell you too, I think I was still, you know, like crawling, trying to learn how to walk.
Well, they put a lot of work into me, so I probably couldn't dance very much either.
Yeah, well, I think it's terrific. And your name again was?
Andrew Venegas.
Okay, I think it's a good idea when you talk, just say, hey, it's me, Andrew, again. And just go ahead and tell us, you know, these personal stories are very meaningful. Did either of you two, Andrew or you have these sort of personal stories like they did?
Yes, and this is Andrew speaking again. Yes, before I started dancing, I was pretty much an athlete my whole life. I grew up nothing but sports. My parents, they pretty much trained me to try every sport to find my passion, and I always liked sports, but I never really felt that, like, true passion. That's not what I wanted to do. That's something that my parents, like, told me to do, and I just tried it and I ended up being good at it. But dance, when I first joined dance, it opened up something inside of me that like led me to just letting me be me. Mm-hmm. I felt more free and I felt more comfortable with all my friends.
Can you quantify that somehow? Can you explain what it is to feel free?
Well, with dance, once you're dancing, once the music starts, there's nothing and that goes on in your head. It's just everything that you're thinking about, any problems that are going on in your head, everything just releases. And
really?
Yes.
Yeah.
And so you don't carry any weight with you at all?
No.
When you're dancing?
Definitely one time.
All of you are agreeing on that.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Any personal stories for you?
I think my personal story is a little bit different because, I love dance and it's a huge passion for me, but I know a lot of the other people on the team want to pursue dance as a career, but I feel like for me, this team is kind of, it's giving me like a safe haven type place. I felt like, I've been here forever, but more like when I started on Wesco, like I felt like it kind of gave me a sense of like family and like a sense of place I belong.
Were there issues with family?
I just kind of always just had family stuff, just family, parents, lots of things. But yeah,
well, most teenagers do have some issues. And,
yeah.
But your sense was that you needed something to have an escape.
Yeah, and just a sense of, like, purpose. I felt like this team shows a lot of kids that they can do things that they didn't really think they could do. And they kind of make us believe that the impossible is possible. And that if as long as you put in the right work and you go into things with the right mindset, like, you'll always be successful and mm-hmm. always try to never stop going for your goals and don't give up until you get what you set out to do.
Yeah, very good advice. You know, one that always sticks with me is if you can see it, you can do it. Mm-hmm. And the idea that if you believe in something enough, then you can probably make it happen. And that's, I guess, very true for what you guys do. It's Valerie. Let me ask Valerie, you've heard what these kids say. What's your reaction to that?
It actually makes me really excited and proud because a lot of times people don't realize how many hours go into building a dance routine or building dancers, that for them to be able to not only accomplish all of the dancing side of things and to be able to be experts in, you know, as a professional dancer, but they're also taking away these lessons that are going to make them better people, better humans. And they're taking away things that are building your self-confidence and they're through those instructions that they're getting just with the choreography, they're also understanding how they can apply those things for the rest of their life.
I'm interested. You're a director. You deal with choreography as well.
Yes.
Yeah. And when you hear kids talk about the fact that they came from a split home, they needed something to get their mind off of the things in life that weren't so good. This isn't unusual, is it?
It's not unusual. I think 90% of the students we work with come from situations that aren't ideal, and they have circumstances that are really difficult to cope with at their age.
So do you have to handle certain things with kid gloves? Do you have to almost be a psychologist along with being a dancer and a choreographer?
I would say there is a certain amount of psychology that goes into what we do, because having them at their fullest and 100% as a person is going to make them better qualified to tackle any kind of skill set that I'm trying to teach them. So kind of repairing them and helping them understand how these situations they have at home are tools that they need to utilize to fuel themselves, to understand that life doesn't ever get easier.
The director behind you was nodding her head. You come on, weigh in on this. You agree with what Valerie was just saying?
Yes. I think we're an outlet for a lot of our kids. So they come to us with problems, family problems, issues in school, personal life. So the three of us being able to be there for them, having another outlet if they can't go to their family, is super important.
Let me ask these kids, social media. We live in a world of Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. And for you guys, given your age, it's probably been there all your life. But it's new for a lot of us, relatively speaking. How much does social media and dance connect for you?
Social media is it's not the only real important source of where you can see dance, but it's a big part of how you can make a career, because that is where you can be able to kind of publish your work and have a bigger audience than just the people in the room. You could have people across the globe watch what you're doing, and having that audience can really build up your name, and it can also give you lots of opportunities.
Carrie's nodding, and you agree with that.
Yeah, I think social media has been not a tricky thing, but something that we've had to navigate for sure with the kids. It's important for them to understand how to use it to their benefit, but then also recognize that you can't necessarily control what's happening on the other side. And so not every comment you're going to receive is positive. Not every person that reaches out to you is legit, and it's just helping them navigate that, that I think will probably be going throughout their whole life. They're going to have to figure these things out, but at such a young age and having such a platform to put their talent on, it's important for us that they understand how to the ups and downs and turns of that.
How to navigate things. And at the lab, you do that because you have a lot of these cases of kids coming from broken homes and things like that. Is that how you decided to start out?
It's not necessarily why we started out. Val can probably speak a little bit about why she started the lab. That's kind of an interesting story that would probably help build a little foundation on how we got to where we were.
Yeah, Valerie?
Yeah, I think for the lab, it was actually a dream that I had when I was really young about these kids' age, where I felt that if there was a facility or a place that could help kids understand what they're capable of producing and really reaching their goals and their dreams and understanding the right tools how to get there, I had a really great support system within my parents, and they always pushed me to pursue my dreams. And it was something that I felt that there's so many kids out there that have so much worth, but it goes unnoticed or unrecognized because of their circumstances. And they begin to develop so many insecurities around things that if they would just turn that into realizing what they do have, they would be successful at anything they chose. So from a young age, I just realized that it was something that I wanted to pursue. And it was something that not only helped the kids that were participating in the program, but I really felt like it helped the creators that were helping them get there.
At the age of 16, I was on radio. So I actually had started getting into to my business at your age, you guys. And so I understand how when you have something else to put your energy into, what a difference that can make. In my home, we didn't have big problems or serious issues. Thank goodness, knock on wood, unless this is for Micah, I don't know. But, I would say that, these sort of things are special. And, we actually... I just want to ask you one thing. We actually have one more person in the room. It's a mom.
Val's mom.
We've got a mom. It's Val's mom. Come on over here, Val's mom. And tell me your name.
Christine.
Come on up. It's okay. I don't bite. Yes, I do. What I want to know from you is you heard these kids. You're a mom. What's your feeling when you hear these kids talking about what they've been dealing with, and your daughter has provided a place for them to come and try to deal with their issues?
Well, first of all, it makes me very proud that that's how she decided to use her life. And these kids, I've been around them forever, and I've seen them grow, and it's a beautiful thing when I see them reaching their dreams, and that she's a part of that even makes it more special for me.
Was she a dancer as a kid? Did you do that to her?
I didn't do it to her.
It wasn't your fault?
It is a little bit my fault, but she chose.
She was the same person to me that I am to them, though.
Is that right?
Yeah, for sure.
So you were very mothering, mm-hmm. not smothering.
No.
Right?
Right.
You know, I love seeing crews like this. I love seeing young people doing well. I love to see young people who are doing something that is constructive, and that someday, you know, I'll see them on So You Think You Can Dance or one of these shows, because that's commitment.
Yeah, it is.
That's commitment. It takes dedication to do these sort of things, and I think it's great that you do. Does it affect your grades at all, Trey?
I think one of the things that comes with pursuing dance is also, along with the lessons that we learn, is to be able to manage your time wisely. And being of a young age, we have to go to school, so managing our time between dancing and our education is important. And not even just managing school, but it also helps us later on to know how to manage certain things in life and know what to put first and when to put things aside.
So one of the things that's interesting is by the end of this podcast, I'll know everybody's name, but I'm still working on that man bun. And tell me your name again. It's
my name is Jaime Mora.
Jaime, okay. Jaime, mm-hmm. right? Jaime,
yes.
Okay. I'll remember that now. I don't mean to cast any dispersions with man bun. I kind of think it's cool. If I could have one, I would. But on TV, I might not look so good. Not sure. You heard what he said about organizing time,
yes.
and things like that. What have you gotten out of this that isn't about dance?
What I've gotten like out of all this, it's more so like life lessons and like more like advice, but it's like really hard to explain, but I really got more like life lessons and things to like managing and just like figuring your stuff out and like being on top and organized.
It just gives you more focus.
Gives me more focus. Yeah. And yeah.
You know, I think I love seeing you guys smile because it seems like you're very happy about what you do. When I saw you downstairs doing some dance in the studio, I was impressed. Really, seriously.
Thank you.
When I was in high school, I thought I'd run for cheerleader. Ha ha. Oh. And I did. I didn't win, but I thought I'd run. And so I tried to practice doing. What do they call the flips in the air? I tried to, and I went to a gym, and they put a belt around me, and I did flips in the air, but without the belt, belly flops. You know? But you guys, you do that with ease. I'm just amazed when I see you do that.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And so athletic, you have to be athletic to do these sort of things.
Definitely.
And you treat this competition, I want you to talk about the competition for a minute, almost like the Olympics. So tell me, about the competition, I think there are 50 teams involved in this.
50 countries.
50 countries. 50. And you represent the United States, which is great to have a Southern California team that represents the United States. I think that's phenomenal. And so you won last year in August, and that competition, was that in?
It's Phoenix, Arizona.
In Arizona. That's where it's going to be again this time, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'll be there.
And so why Phoenix, by the way? Anybody know?
Don't know.
It just happens to be where it's hot.
It is hot.
You do a little dancing out there in that Arizona heat, and you're sweating.
We dance everywhere.
Yeah, you do, and you don't. And you can still talk afterwards. That's the thing that's kind of amazing. You're not all winded like I am when I go up a flight of stairs. So the competition, it takes a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks?
Well, there's a series of rounds. There's 5 rounds. There is two USA rounds, so you have to qualify for your country. So the top 3 go to Worlds, and then there's 3 more rounds for Worlds. So that's about 1 week. Mm-hmm. I believe so. It's about like 9 days, I think, something like that.
All right. Okay, Andrew. Let me ask. It is Andrew, right?
Yes.
I got that name right. So Andrew, Jaime, Trey, and
Jonathan,
right. Okay. I'm Hal.
What the hell?
What the hell?
What the hell?
Let's all say that together.
What the hell?
Thank you for that. What are you doing to prepare for this year's competition?
This year,
you're defending your title.
Yes. So pretty much, in order to prepare for
Okay,
you can. We don't cut it out, but you can go ahead and start over again.
Yeah, so pretty much preparing for this takes hard work and dedication and work ethic.
So what do you do? Coming you practice from, a couple hours a day? Or what do
no,
you do?
Not a couple hours a day. Actually, we train until we get it perfection. And once it's to perfection, then we practice more until we can make it even better and greater and pretty much.
I think the difference between us and most teams is they come together and they practice for one event, but we're basically like nonstop all year. And it's kind of like whenever something comes up, we use all of our training that we've gotten over the year to like prepare for that one thing. Mm-hmm. So it's not like we're practicing only for one thing. We're nonstop all year.
That's right. It's like it's a lifestyle for these kids. So that they're day in and day out to perfect their craft. So when these opportunities come up to compete or defend your title, it's not the routine that you put together in a week or two. It's the years built up to being able to do it in a week or two.
So Valerie, did you start doing practice on a routine after you won the championship last year in August? Or was it a few months?
I'm sorry.
A new routine for this year.
Oh, for this year. You know what's funny is the way the routine comes together, it's only a 2-minute routine. And with that amount of content, that can be really established in a day or two.
Oh, really?
But the difference is what they have to do is the skill to make that routine really good and qualified is you have to build for years. So what they do is they build on their skills and they train like you saw in the tumbling and all styles of hip hop. And then when we go to build a routine, we just pretty much design it with the right type of music and the right skills that they've already been training in, and then they apply those moves. And it takes a minute to perfect it because they're obviously not the same people. So they're working together with syncing their energies and making sure everything is perfectly synchronized. They're understanding how to approach each piece the same way. But, I mean, it takes a ton of time to get there, but it's also something that they're used to day in and day out. So
I would say we definitely do, like, whatever it takes. So whether that means we train for 2 months or we get it done in 2 weeks, I feel like we always just go at it with a no matter what it takes effort. So like I said, if we'll train as hard as 2 months or 2 weeks, if we get it done in 2 weeks, like that's just kind of how the cards fall.
I'm curious, in ballet, for instance, you have a pirouette, or however you might want to say that. It's a circle. and so what's a hip-hop step?
I think that's the beauty of hip-hop. There's no right or wrong.
It's street dance.
Right.
So that's really where it comes from.
There might be good and bad, but there's definitely no right or wrong. It's really one of the most freest forms of dance that you can discover because it's really based on emotion and feeling, and it's based on what you perceive, what you want to project is what you project.
So my sort of recollection is when I started singing this years ago, it was getting on the ground and spinning like a clock. sort of, right? I mean, that was some of it. And so how has it changed over the years? It started about when?
You know, I think the internet has actually helped it develop.
When did it start?
Hip hop?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Anybody know? Anybody want to take a guess? Okay.
I don't know.
All right, we won't answer that question on this show.
Can we erase that question? Trey knows.
Trey knows.
I don't know like the exact year, but I know that hip hop hasn't been around as long as people think it has been. It's only been around for a couple decades, and it was formed in New York, and it's something still really new to the society.
Well, in New York, and you had the East Coast hip hoppers, then you had the West Coast hip hoppers.
And there's difference between hip hop music and hip hop dancers. Yeah, so that's
and the difference is
hip hop culture.
I mean, one is you're a musician, and the other is you're an entertainer, an athlete of some sort.
Right.
So it's kind of hard to really distinguish like how long what we do has really been around because I feel like it progresses every year. It's such an evolving style.
So here's what I'd like to do to sort of round this out at the end of this podcast, and that's to say I'd like for each of you to take a second and tell people that might be listening, young or old, if they wanted to get started in something that was dance-oriented, whether it's hip-hop, whether it's ballroom, whether it's the twist by Chubby Checker, whatever it might happen to be, what would you tell them? Come back around and let's go in a circle. Go ahead. We're at a big round table, by the way.
You can do anything you want as long as you put the right work in and go in with the right mindset.
Okay. Andrew?
Yeah, I feel like going into any type of anything that your goal is to reach, like never always strive for the best and never think about the things that don't let anything set you back. So if there's ever a setback, what can you do to fix that?
So they say it's if you fall off the mountain, climb up again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's kind of what you're saying.
Yeah, so pretty much you're going to come back 10 times harder with a new mindset and a better work ethic.
Exactly. Carrie?
I would just say use social media to your benefit and look up studios that might be in your area. If you are in Southern California, you can find us at In the Lab 24/7.
24/7?
24/7.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
In the lab 24/7. But I think there's a lot of resources that might be undiscovered in your area that you're not aware of, and you really got to seek them out.
What do you look for? Keywords.
Keywords. Hip-hop in West Covina.
Jaime.
For me, I feel like just feel confident in what you're like trying to pursue and know that you could accomplish whatever you like. Put your mind to whatever mindset you have.
Trey, you going to keep the trophy? Yeah. Or are you going to be able to keep it in August when you go to defend it?
That's the mindset. We definitely want to keep it. Before, the message we want to be able to spread to people is to also not be afraid to try something just because it's something that you haven't tried before. And don't be afraid to fail because that's what makes you better.
I want to ask you a question, personal question. Did you ever go through bullying at school?
When I was younger, a little bit, because I was pretty short when I was little, it was more of a just kind of like not fitting in with the rest kind of thing. But
did this help, the dance?
It kind of helped. It came along with the whole situation with my parents. That kind of built up the same amount of stress and emotion. So it all helped me when I danced to let that out.
When you grow up, you have kids, whatever, are you going to direct them toward dance?
If they want to dance, that's awesome, because it'd be super awesome to be able to help my kids out and dance with them. But, I mean, no matter what they want to do, I just want to be able to be there to support and just help them pursue what they want to do.
Valerie?
I would say it'd just be important for, I mean, a kid or an adult just to find out your purpose. What's your why? Why do you do what you do? Why do you like what you like? And understanding who you are is ultimately going to help you live the best life.
It reminds me of the musical Avenue Q, where one of the characters is looking for his purpose in life. And purpose is sometimes a very tricky thing to find.
It is.
And once you find it, then you really can...
Everything makes sense.
Take it then. In, everything makes sense. And your name again was?
Brittany.
Brittany, okay. I think I now have every... We'll do a test, okay? Brittany, what's your final thought here?
Definitely never give up on your dreams and pursue everything that you want to. Don't be scared.
Don't be scared. And Mom? Come on, Christine. You can do this. Give us your advice.
Well, the advice I gave my daughter was to do what you love and love what you do and do it the best you can.
I like that. I'll also tell you this. My father told me, sometimes people say, do the best you can at something, right? My father told me, do the best at what you do best. Mm-hmm. That's fundamentally different than just do the best at something.
Right.
It's do the best at what you do best. If you're a dancer and hip-hop is your thing, you're going to do better at that than the Texas two-step, right? Unless you learn the Texas two-step. So you know, I think a piece of advice I would leave you with is do the best at what you do best, because that's what Dad told me, and I used it all my life.
Yeah. No, yeah. That's definitely true, because you'll do better at, you'll give a better quality when you love something.
Absolutely. There's no question about that. All right, very good. Well, I can't thank you enough, Jonathan, Andrew, Carrie, Jaime, Trey, Valerie, Brittany, and Mom.
Yeah.
Christine. All right. Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
It's a good time to subscribe to our podcast, What the Hal. You can do that through your various podcast outlets like Google Play and iTunes Store and What the Hal.
What the Hal.
See you next time.